Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Jansen played at Michigan, also played for Washington's football team, the Detroit Lions. Now he hosts Morning Drive in Detroit on the Ticket, along with Stoney, who actually went to college with my mother, as I've been told throughout the years. Anyway, though, John Jansen's here with us to talk about the disgraceful Detroit Lions and the joke of a football team that he loves in the Michigan Wolverines right now. John Jansen, how you been?
Good evening, Zach. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know what? You want to know why I respect you greatly?
Why's that?
Other than the fact that you're very talented and you're great at what you do, I saw a photo over the weekend. Through thick and thin, you're supporting your football team, the Michigan Wolverines. You went to that game against Penn State over the weekend?
I did. I was actually, this would be probably a shock. It was a shock to me. I was sitting there as the only fan in the stands. I was one person in a 111,000 seat stadium, and I still didn't win fan of the game.
Were you the designated driver at least?
Yeah, trust me. I could have used a whole lot of adult beverages watching that game on Saturday.
So other than you being yourself, is there a story how you were the one fan there this past weekend?
Well, no, I mean, not really. I do the pregame show leading up to it, and then Dan Dierdorf, Jim Brandstatter do the play-by-play in color. So I get a chance to just sit there and watch the game. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to pick the best seat in the house. I was about 15 rows up on the 50-yard line. Had a great view. It was a beautiful day in Ann Arbor. Like I said, it was beautiful except for the performance on the football field.
John Jansen here with us. So Michigan, Harbaugh has done some good things there, but you still have this feeling of disappointment. We know they've never defeated Ohio State. They never won a Big Ten championship with them. And obviously they've never been to a college football playoff. It seems as if it's time. A few weeks ago, I'd probably say he's back next year. Who knows if he wants to stay? If I'm the university, I think about and I move on from at the end of the year. Where do you stand on that?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Ward Manuel, the athletic director, does, because Michigan has never obviously fired a coach in the middle of the season. They'll wait to the end of the year, and then they'll take stock of everything that a college coach is supposed to do and see where Jim stacks up. And I can tell you right now, in regards to off-the-field problems and how he's dealt with them, he's done a great job in terms of getting guys to graduate and, you know, emphasizing the importance of getting a college education and supporting them in that process. He's done an outstanding job. You look at his record and, you know, a couple of 10-win seasons, a 9-win season. His worst was 8 wins. Obviously, this year is nowhere near that. But you mentioned it already. He hasn't beaten Ohio State. He's 500 against the in-state rival Michigan State Spartans. And his record against top 10 opponents or as an underdog is less than desirable. So it's really going to come down to what Ward Manuel and the Regents believe is acceptable. How do you weigh one with the academics? Because this is a student athlete. It's not professional sports. How do you weigh that with not as many wins as you'd like to see paying Jim Harbaugh what you're paying him?
What does your gut tell you right now? Is he on the Michigan sidelines next year?
Gosh, you know what? I go back and forth. And, some days I wake up and I think, yeah, he's back. Other days I wake up and I don't see how it's possibly, how it could possibly be that way. And I think the one caveat that you and I don't necessarily know all of the details, and there's really only a couple of people in this world that do, is what's it going to cost to change coaching staffs? Because in my estimation, you're looking at probably somewhere between $20 and $25 million. With Jim Harbaugh having another year on his contract with the assistant coaches, then you've got to attract another coach. You've got to hire a new set of assistant coaches. And if there's anything you're doing in the building, with whether it's the weight room and the support staff, that's a price tag that in the middle of a pandemic, I don't care who you are, if you're Michigan, if you're Ohio State, if you're Alabama, if you're USC, when you're running a $120 million deficit, how do you reconcile that price tag? And maybe there's ways that they could defer the cost. But that's something that I don't know what that price tag is, and I don't know what's going to go into making that decision.
John Jansen, if it was up to him, do you think he sees the writing on the wall and how this isn't going to end up successful for him at Michigan and goes back to the NFL? Or does this eat at him so much because you get it, hey, it's your school, you don't want to leave on bad terms, you don't want to leave as a disappointment, that maybe you stick it out and you want to see this thing through?
I think if it's up to Jim Harbaugh, he's going to be back. I think that all of the things that you just said, and not having beaten Ohio State, the record against his rival, all of the business that is unfinished at Michigan, I think is, and Jim is as much of a competitor as anybody that I've ever met. And he doesn't want to leave thinking that business was unfinished, that it was a failure.
When we look at why they haven't been able to take the next step, what do you point your finger on for the reason, John Jansen, why this football team, who's, like you said, 10 wins, you know, they've had that a few times. There's some years where you think, all right, maybe this is their year, and then they disappoint. What is it with Harbaugh that he's been good, but he's not been able to get to greatness at Michigan?
Well, I think there's two reasons. I think one is you look and you say, you know, what's the recruiting like? Who is winning the recruiting battles? And that's Clemson, that's Alabama, it's Ohio State in the Big Ten. And when you look at some of the top talent that they've had in a Rashawn Gary, what type of production did, yes, he was a first-round pick, but what type of production did he have at Michigan? And you look at the development, some of the coaches that he lost, I think losing Greg Madison to Ohio State. Greg was an assistant coach when I was playing at Michigan. He left to go to Notre Dame. He left to go, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens, was, you know, able to come back with Jim's staff. He has always been known as one of the top recruiters. In fact, there's a lot of publications that over the years have named him the top recruiter in college football. I think that was a big loss for Michigan. He was great at developing that talent. So there is you could go down the list of a number of reasons why you think it is, and I'll just give you one more. When you look at the NFL draft, and I know that Michigan last year, I think it was 10 players, as many as Ohio State, and, you know, they tied a record for, you know, a team out of the Big Ten with players. When those players are drafted in the first couple of rounds, like you have at Ohio State, that's where you know you have great talent in the program and you're developing that talent. When those 10 guys, you have one in the first round and then you've got eight or nine guys that are taken in the third round or later, that's where you know you're getting good talent. You're just not getting the top end talent.
Wrap it up with John Jansen here with us. Let me transition to Detroit. Jim Caldwell, I know these aren't great numbers, but for Detroit Lions standards, they're very good. He was 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, then they moved on. You know, he made the playoffs twice. That 2016 year, they backed their way in, losing three straight to get in the postseason. In 2017, they don't make the playoffs. I get it when the Lions tell you Caldwell was good, but he wasn't going to make them great. Patricia, they thought, was going to be the guy, and clearly he wasn't. Why was it Matt Patricia? And I know it's not an easy place to win, but he took over a team that was having some successful seasons. Why wasn't he able to get this team better where they took a big step back?
Well, I think, again, there's always more than just one reason. And the blame doesn't all just lie with Matt Patricia. You know, and for Matt to come in and be a defensive guru and then to watch the defense in year one perform well. In year two, average at best, and then now in year three, you look and you say, well, who are the leaders on this defense? Who are the game changers on this defense, and what are they doing? They're almost at a league worst in points per game and yards in rushing. I mean, it's just that's what's supposed to be his MO. But the blame also lies with Bob Quinn, who was also relieved of duties, the general manager, in acquiring that talent, because they both came from New England. Bob Quinn was here. He's the one that fired Jim Caldwell and then hired Matt Patricia. They should know exactly what they want, and you know, because they worked together prior to being in Detroit, and it never seemed like they were on the same page with what Matt Patricia needed on defense. And then on the flip side, on offense, I'm just not a believer that Matthew Stafford is the quarterback that's going to get you over the hump. He's a guy that you can win with, but you're not going to win because of Matt Stafford. And too many times he's thrown just costly interceptions or taken costly sacks in situations that you wouldn't expect now in year 12, but even going back to year 9, 10, and 11, that you wouldn't expect an experienced quarterback to do. So there's plenty of blame to go around, and obviously the GM and the coach are going to take the brunt of that.
I would probably go full-out tank mode next year. I know it's tough for a first-year coach to walk in, but you get that one-year grace period, unless if you're, you know, Freddie Kitchens or Steve Wilks, who was out with the Cardinals. I would imagine you probably tank that tank year next year, and then you move on from Stafford after that. That would probably be my guess on what they do.
Well, you could go that route. As a former player, I can't endorse tanking to get a better draft pick.
Well, players don't tank, but the front office does.
Well, the front office could, and there's a number of ways they could go about doing that. But I think in this year's draft, I think that they do have the opportunity, if Matt Stafford is going to be back for another year, and his contract kind of dictates that he will, that you could take a Trey Lance, a Kyle Trask, you know, somebody of that ilk, and let them season for a year in a new system, you know, learn from a quarterback that has some experience on what to do, what not to do. And I think there's just some good opportunities, that if you play a young quarterback maybe halfway through the season, he gets a chance to get some experience. You're probably not going to be that successful because there's so much to do and so much of the roster to turn over. So by default, you're probably going to be tanking anyway.
John Jansen, I got about 30 seconds left. If Robert Saleh's the next coach, are you okay with that? I saw that was making some noise over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's done a great job in San Francisco. And, you know, one of the things I like about him is he's got a lot of talent out there, but he has found a way to win without that talent.
Yeah.
They've been devastated by injuries. Plus, he's a Dearborn native. Coming home, it would be great to have a guy from home be able to make that difference.
John Jansen, you be well. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.